The scripture reading this morning is found in Romans 8, verses 14 through 17, which can be found on page 1031 in your pew Bible. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you that don't know me or your first time visitors here, I'm Elder Bill Kutz. Pastor Gelder is at the annual meeting of the Synod for the Church this week, and I'll be bringing the message to you. Now, I'm going to be speaking today about our Father in Heaven. The thing about our Father in Heaven is that He created us in His image, both male and female. He created us. God not only is the perfect Father, He's the perfect Mother, He's the perfect Grandmother, the perfect Grandfather. He is everything that we can imagine in a perfect parent. And today's Father's Day message, first of all, I'd like to say, Happy Father's Day. It's a beautiful day, the sun's shining for now, and I'm privileged to have two of my children here. Katie couldn't make it because somebody broke into her car and stole her car keys and everything, and she's still up in Ithaca. But she had said that she was going to be here, and unfortunately she didn't make it. So, Happy Father's Day. When we say our Father who art in heaven, who do you see? Do you look at him as a perfect parent? Or some king up on a throne that's untouchable? Have you ever really, really thought about God as a father? Have you ever seen him in your mind's eye? We might have an idea of who he is and what he's like and how he will respond to us, even though we've never been face to face with him. We've read the Bible, we've read books, commentaries, we've gone to Sunday school and heard sermons, and maybe even gone to a movie, all to get a glimpse into the nature of our Father in Heaven. I think I have a pretty good idea of who he is and what he might be like. I can't get the perfect idea, but I think I have an idea of who he is, especially since becoming a father myself. But when I was younger, I saw God the Father as someone quite different than I see him now. I had put human attributes on him from the examples I had as a father, as father figures. I had my own father, and I had the priests in the church that I grew up in. I thought I knew what I could expect from God. And my dad died 12 or 13 years ago. I loved him a lot. I miss him sometimes. When my dad was growing up, he was abused both physically and mentally. I'm told that his dad would not stop beating him for the slightest infraction, always putting him down. My dad was always too dumb, too stupid, or too slow. I can't imagine growing up like that. But my father learned from his father. My dad was much mellower than his dad was. We didn't get beat. We got a belt across the backside when we deserved it. And with five of us boys, sometimes we did. But my dad was a hard man. All five of us boys can probably testify to that. I don't ever, ever remember him telling me that he was proud of me or that he had done a good job. I don't think any of my brothers can say the same. He may have done that once or twice, but with all the other stuff that went on, I don't remember it. Don't get me wrong. I love my dad. I miss him. He was a good father in the ways that he knew. He didn't have a good example. He was always home at night. He worked hard all of his life. He provided for me and my four brothers and my mother very well. He just didn't know how to show his love in the way that our Father in Heaven can show his love to us. I remember sitting at his bedside in Florida just before he died. From the time the sun went down to the time the sun came up, I sat at his bed. He was pretty much comatose at the time. And I prayed and I talked to him. I said, "Dad, I want to love you. I want you to love me. I want to say thank you for being my dad. It wasn't always easy, but I know you love me. I just wish you could wake up to hear me say that to you with all of my heart." Let's just think my dad, that, you know, I don't have any right to complain about my dad. I haven't been the greatest father in the world. I was always working too much. If I wasn't working at home, I was working at work. Shannon can tell you, Tyler can tell you, I missed most of their growing up. Our quality time, was watching Star Trek or X-Files with Shannon. She was a little more edgy. We didn't really go camping enough. We didn't go on picnics enough. I didn't go to the school functions enough. I wasn't there enough. Any of you that are dads now, take a lesson from me. Your children need you to be there more than anything else. I always tried to raise them right. I always tried to set a good example. I didn't always do the right thing, but I think my children will tell you that I tried to be a good man and I tried to be a good dad. Now I know my children love me, and almost as important as that, I know that they respect me. I hope that you won't make the same mistakes with your children that I made with mine. Love you guys. Some of the other experiences I had as father figures that put an idea of who God might be into my mind were the priests. Up until about third grade, I went to Catholic school down in Florida and in Utica. And we were taught to honor and revere the priests. When they came into the classroom, all of us little kids would jump up, stand at the side of our desks, and, "Good morning, Father." And we would stand there until he told us we could sit down. Or if they came to the playground, and we were all playing and we saw them, and it was kind of like generals in the room. We all stopped what we were doing and turned towards them, "Good afternoon, Father." And we would patiently wait until he gave us permission to play our games again. We learned to respect and maybe fear the priest. We were to speak when spoken to, and certainly not disagree with a representative of God. Now, I don't know if anybody else went to Catholic school, but I think you can, Paul smile, and he's...
I haven't been to Catholic school.
I don't know if it's the same way as it was back when, you know, 40 years ago, today, with the Catholics. But there was an example of who I thought God might be. Well, I really didn't have a high opinion of who God might be. I had the proof of it. I was afraid of him. I was afraid that if I messed up, he was going to punish me. I had proof. He kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. He destroyed the whole world except for Noah and his family. He put the Israelites into captivity. And I remember hearing, when I was a little child, that the baby next door that had died was in hell because his parents didn't get him baptized before he died. How can we get our God so messed up when we're growing up? Fathers, mothers, parents, grandchildren, grandparents, you have a responsibility to tell the children who God really is. Don't let them get that mixed up idea of who God is. Let them know that He is a loving and wonderful God, that He does know every hair on your head. Let's take a look at what Scripture says about God. Yeah, before I begin, I want to say I'm going to be talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, sometimes when we talk about the three of them, it seems that they are separate and distinct, three gods maybe. I want to make sure that you understand that I know that there's one God. Three in one, one in three. I'm going to leave that sermon for Al because it still confuses the heck out of me. Don't know how it can be. Anyway, who is our Father in heaven? Look at what Scripture says. First, He's loving and He's compassionate. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that so whosoever believed in Him would have everlasting life." Can you imagine? Which one of you could or would send your child away for 33 years out there knowing that they would have to face all the temptations that the world had created, that they would have to be tempted by the master of all lies, Satan himself. And then, fully innocent, they would be subject to physical punishment for everyone else's sins. They would be tortured, beaten, and then hung on a tree to die a shameful and cruel death. So that in the end, the guilty that tried to corrupt them could go free. Our Father did. For us, Jesus left the comfort of His home and left His Father's side. All because the Father loves us despite our sinful ways. All because the Father wants us to come back and be with Him forever in perfect harmony. An atonement for sin had to be made, and only God the Son, fully God, yet fully human, could be that holy and perfect and sinless offering. Can you imagine how much it must have hurt the Father to see His innocent child endure all of this, knowing that at any minute He could just say to the legions of angels, "Go protect my son, bring him home to me." And all the while, knowing that Jesus was down here saying, "Father, Thy will be done, not mine, because I love You and You love them." What else does Scripture say about the love our Father has for us and how we as parents can imitate Him as we raise our kids? Listen carefully, parents, to the way the Father is described. In Luke 15, Jesus tells us the story of the prodigal son. We all know that story. A wayward son that wants to go live the high life and party. He wants to take his inheritance. And he does. He runs off. For a long, long time, he lives the high life. He spends his money on booze and women and all sorts of things. And it all collapses on him. And he says, "I got to come back to my dad. My dad will surely take me in if... for nothing more than a servant. He'll let me go to work for him, so at least I'll have a bed to sleep in. Well, some of us can relate to that son. Some of us can relate to the older son, the one that says, I did what you wanted me to do, and now you're giving him everything that I've got. And some of us can relate to the father. Some of us have kids that have strayed away and have come back, and we've welcomed them back with open arms. I'd like to go through some of the qualities that Jesus describes and we can put on our Father in heaven, and we can take as an example for ourselves. The Father was patient. Although the Son had been gone for a long time, long enough for a famine to ravage the land, the Father was still looking. He saw him a great way off. His eyes never tired of looking for his wayward son. Now for just a moment, close your eyes and imagine God staring out his throne room window, watching over you, and saying, I can't wait for him to come back. I can't wait for her to come back. I miss my children. I want them to be here and enjoy my place. Can you see that? There is a God, there is a father, there is a parent in heaven that loves you more than you can ever imagine. One of the other things that, one of the other qualities is he was loving. When he saw his son coming, he ran to him. He couldn't wait for his son to come to him. He immediately hugged and kissed his son. I really cannot comprehend the first time I come face to face with God. Like the song says, I can only imagine. Can you? He was also forgiving. We know he was forgiving because his actions demonstrated it. So anxious was he to forgive his son that he did not let him finish his plea. In verses 18 and 19 of Luke, the son plans to ask his father to make him a servant, but the father cuts him off before he gets that far. The father restores his wayward son to his original place and treated him with the highest honors. The fourth, he had his priorities right. The father had his priorities right. He knew the most important thing was not that his son had sinned, not that he had taken advantage of his father, not that he had caused his father untold grief. The most important thing was that his son was alive and had come home. Not only will we be overjoyed at being in his presence, but the father will be joyful too. There's a picture that I remember from many years ago of Jesus standing near the pearly gates, and there's light in the background, and he's hugging someone with tears in his eyes. And you can't tell if that someone is a man or a woman from the back, but you can see the joy, the tears running down the face of Jesus with joy in his face and in his arms, just hugging that one as if to say, welcome home, brother. Welcome home, sister. Welcome into the family of God, because you've been adopted. Because you have professed your faith in Jesus Christ and you're willing to live your life to honor him, you are now co-heirs with Christ. And that brings us to the last passage that I wanted to talk about. It's the one that Tim just read. It's in Romans chapter 8. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave, again to fear. But you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Again, I can only imagine. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we are co-heirs with him. We will share in his glory. Have you ever stopped to fully comprehend what that means? God has adopted us into his family. You are a child of God. God the Father. Perfect parent. Co-heirs of heaven. Now, some of you remember the message I gave a couple of years ago about heaven. Heaven is not floating around on a bunch of clouds with nothing to do. It is earth. It's ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. You've been given a great privilege and honor and responsibility because of your response to the call of God. So, I'm glad my views of God have changed. He's not that being up in the sky just waiting to throw a thunderbolt at me because I've messed up. He loves me. He's up there watching me, and when I mess up, he pushes me in the right direction. And when I don't follow that direction, he's made a way for me to come back to him in his son Jesus Christ. Now I would encourage each and every one of you to think about who our Father is today. To think about what it means to be a child of God. And if you've never professed your faith in Jesus Christ, maybe you have. If you have never committed yourself to changing your life, to live the way that he wants you to be, I encourage you today to do that. Take the time right now to ask Jesus into your life. Take the time right now to tell God the Father that you want to follow his ways. And when you do, I promise you that you will be with me and the rest of us forever and ever in God's kingdom.